Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the epistle reading for today, Romans 12, especially the following words, overcome evil with good. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, dear Apostle Paul wants us to do something, not just sit there. And in this brief reading of today's epistle, he uses 28 verbs, all in the imperative tense. The imperative is the maximum strength a verb can carry. The imperative is a direct command. It's what mother uses with her children as she is dumping peas in the plate. Eat this. Clean your room. Bring your dirty laundry down. Go to sleep. The imperative tense is what platoon sergeants are famous for using. Ten, hup! Forward, march. Aim, fire, are all commands. The Apostle Paul thinks that the discharge of our Christian duties is this important that it doesn't leave margin for error or misinterpretation. 28 times he uses this imperative to tell us, overcome evil with good is the end. And that's the summary of it all. And I find it very comforting because good will overcome evil. Isn't that good to know? Evil has its day, has its hour, but God's great love retains its power, says Paul Gerhardt. So, Romans 12 in the history of the church is clearly visible, is it not? The disciples lived according to Romans 12, which was even after their day. Paul bases Romans 12 on the performance of the disciples, on the discharge of their work, of their command from Christ. And Romans 12 can be clearly seen being fulfilled throughout the history, 2,000 years of history from the time of Christ. You and I are living proof that the church has discharged its duties. So the directives of a Christian life are determined not by our brains, not by educational advances or study or studies. Directives of a Christian life come from baptism. Go into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Since we have baptized, we go. That's our directive. In the beautiful little movie WALL-E, WA.L.Y, we have a little robot that is the only one left on planet Earth, it seems. He is here and continues to do his job, which is compacting garbage, and then he piles them into neat little piles and makes these big buildings of garbage. The population of the world has left the Earth because there was too much garbage around, and they station themselves in a space station far away. WALL-E is here all by his lonesome until something marvelous happens. This space ship comes down and out comes a little female robot called Eva. And WALL-E and Eva strike a wonderful little friendship. And then one day they started to better communicate with one another and learn how to get along. And Eva wants to know what WALL-E is all about. And she says, WALL-E, directive, What is your directive? What do you do? And Wally is wired to compact garbage. And so he goes and grabs a bunch of garbage, puts in his abdominal little box, compacts it neatly, and piles it up. And then he turns around and says, Eva, directive. And Eva turns around and says, secretive. Classified, the secretive female. Don't give out anything that you don't have to. Well, our directive is clear and it can be made public. And let everyone that sees us in action know instantly what our directive is. It is to proclaim Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of many. And we do so just by following our directives as children of God in this world that needs love, that needs His light, that needs forgiveness, that needs bearing with one another in love. And that's our directive. And we exemplify that in our life. Christians do not make up a blueprint for their lives. They don't plan stage by stage. They just look at Christ. Let your life be according to that example, Jesus Christ, who took on the form of a servant. Are we servants or lords? We are servants by determination of our Lord, by the directive that the Holy Spirit put in our hearts and minds. We follow Christ. And we've been following Christ since salvation started in us. And that is on the day of our baptism. That's when we were saved. What we do now is a result of our salvation. We do not do the things that we do, serve one another in love, proclaim Christ in order to get a seat in heaven. That's been done. That's assured. The original sin and its threat and consequence, that has been removed from us. We are no longer imprisoned. We are no longer entangled in this net that doesn't allow us to do any good. We can and we do good because Christ saved us. So our life is lived for others in mutual service. We are tools in God's hands. I have a chisel and a hammer in my workshop on the pegboard. They really are good for nothing. I have to take the chisel in one hand and the hammer in another. Then I can do things. You and I, of ourselves, can do nothing. But when God takes a hold of our lives, when He takes us by our handles, He can do beautiful things. Our sufficiency comes from Christ. It is His love that empowers us to do beautiful things. So a Christian's life results in more Christian lives. Because when we live our Christian life, the Word of God is conveyed to the world. And it is not our eloquent preaching or presenting a case for Christ or Christianity that people will be converted. They will be converted by the simple hearing of the Word of God, the action of the Holy Spirit through the Word in their hearts. So it's not the messenger that is responsible for the result. In the world, a salesman gets pats on the back when he is successful and convinces many to buy and purchase his product. But in the church, that goes to God because it comes from God. And it is God at work, not you and me. To us, it remains to do our part, that for which we were made. Each one according to the endowment of Christ. Chapter 12 of Romans is wonderful, and it ought to be compulsive reading for every Christian. take some time this afternoon, read to yourself Romans 12. It is enriching and comforting. It is so comforting because it ties us to God. It makes us instruments or tools, if you will, in God's hands. And when we work and God directs and empowers, then the sky is the limit. People are saved around the globe. Last week, we told the Nigerians, hey, Christ loves us and we love you because he loved us. Today, we have a chance to say to the Texans, hey, you are not alone. Christ loves you as he has loved us. Here is the proof of our love. May the Lord bless our works. Typically, he takes the smallest of our good works and multiplies them and gives them impetus and transforms them into this grandeur advance against the powers of darkness. May he bless us now and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.